We want to continue today looking at spiritual gifts, which we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. As we prepare to unwrap the gifts that the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that are available to us. And we've been looking at a different question each of the last couple of weeks related to the gifts, related to presence. There's lots of questions to ask. And so today's question is simple. Who is the giver? Last week, we kind of metaphorically took a look at the tag on the gift to ask ourselves, well, who are they for? And today, we want to read the second half of that tag that says, who's the giver? Who are they from? Is what we're asking ourselves today. We need to make sure that we understand that, because it's an important thing when you get a gift to know who it's from. In our family, we have Christmas Day celebrations together, and a lot of times we'll do that at my parents' or perhaps my aunt and uncle's house. And so there's a larger collection of family there. And when it comes time for Christmas presents and the unwrapping, we have gifts for my kids, and some of them that my kids get are from their aunts and uncles, and some of them are from their grandma and grandpa, and some of them are even from their great aunt and great uncle, and there could be quite a stack. It's really pretty embarrassing, to tell you the truth. And my kids, being kids, want to just dive into that and go for it, right? Let's start ripping paper here. Let's start untying things and just going for what's in the presents. And Sue and I have the task of trying to keep track of who gave what and what came from whom, right? And we have two different methods. Sue is a great list writer, so she'll sit a lot of times with Jessica and just kind of, if not, you know, writing things down, at least making a mental list, and then that transfers later to an actual list so that she has some semblance of, you know, how it is the next day. Who gave you this t-shirt? Well, I don't know. You know, and that kind of thing. You got to keep track of who gave it. I, as Tyler opens things, I will rip the tag off and I try and cram it in the box or in the top of whatever so that later on we can at least look in the tags there. My method doesn't work quite so well because those tags fall out and presents get mixed up and things like that. And so invariably on December 26th, 27th, 28th, there's this, okay, who gave us this? I don't know. Do you know who gave us this? I don't know. So we don't always do as well as we should, but we kind of want to know. And as parents, it's the whole, we got to remember to thank grandma and, you know, things like that and stuff like that. Knowing who gave you a particular gift is an important piece of information. And there's a lot of implications to that. We'll discuss some of the implications later. But first, we need to make sure that we're all on the same page with who the gift is for. And who it comes from. And the best way to do that is to reread a verse that we've already looked at in the past couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says this about spiritual gifts. It says, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, and it goes on and on to list some of the things, not all of the things, but some of the things that we've identified as spiritual gifts. It says, God has placed them in the church. And we begin here just to remind ourselves that God gives gifts to the church. Okay, last week we talked about who the gifts are for, and we talked about how gifts are expressed in the lives of individuals, but really they are meant for the church. The gift is for the church, and this verse is one of several that will remind us of that fact, but it will also say God is the sender. Okay, so if we were to picture a tangible gift and look at the card, and we know that in this box is going to be a spiritual gift, we might recognize that the card says to the church, and it says from God. God is the giver. God gives the gifts to the church. And there's a pretty profound implication. I mean, this might sound pretty basic, and I think most of us already are nodding, okay, great job, Dan, you must have taken the week off. God gives gifts, very good. But there's an important implication here that I want to highlight. And the implication is quality. Do we hear that? That spiritual gifts, do we get who shopped for them? God. Now let's just think about this. What does God's bank account look like? It's pretty significant. Could we just say that much? It's pretty significant. There's an implication that when we understand that the giver of the gifts is God himself, the implication is that the gift is of highest quality. Let's just be real here for a minute. Okay, let's just talk. I'm not going to tell anybody, but you can nod when I get to something that you understand what I'm talking about. You know how When was your birthday when you were a kid? If you had multiple gifts that came from different people, you knew who was getting you the good stuff. You knew who it was. We all have that somebody, you know, that somebody in the family that just, they know how to get good gifts, don't they? Maybe it's a relative that is a little bit wealthier than we are. Maybe it's a relative that's particularly generous, or a friend that, you know, maybe they don't have more money, but that's just something they do. They're very, very generous. When you get a gift that comes from them, you know there's going to be something good inside. Maybe it's somebody, it might not be a matter of wealth or generosity. Maybe it's somebody who's just very, very picky when it comes to shopping. You know, some of us go out and get gifts, and we whatever's at the front of Walgreens, that's what we're getting. But others really go to the effort, and you know who those people are in your lives. And so when a present comes and it's wrapped up, you take a look at that card, and you know, some of you are pointing fingers at your family members right now. I have to say, I'm not off in my left. I saw that finger, okay? You look at the tag and you see who it's from, and you think, ooh, this is gonna be good. I don't know what's in it, but I know this is going to be good. And the reason I know it's going to be good is I know who got it for me. I know it's somebody who gives good gifts. And so when we begin just by acknowledging what probably is a statement of the obvious, I mean, after all, we are in church. The right answer is always God. But we have to think about the implications of that. God gives good gifts. Jesus taught us that God gives perfect gifts. He gives tremendously valuable gifts. And so if we acknowledge by beginning that spiritual gifts are given to us by God, that in fact God is the giver, we can recognize that the gift is going to be of tremendous value. In the neighborhood where I grew up, we were a middle class neighborhood. But there was one family in our neighborhood, a couple of blocks away from where I lived, that was significantly more wealthy than everyone else in our neighborhood. I don't know why they lived in our neighborhood, to tell you the truth, but they had a large piece of property and they had a big, big house. One family that was significantly more wealthy than any of their neighbors. And I knew them. I went to school with the kids, but we weren't necessarily good buddies or anything. It wasn't anybody that I played with very regularly. But can I tell you that on Halloween, when we went trick-or-treating, everybody went to this house. And this is why. Fun-size Snickers. I mean, what's fun about that? Nothing's fun about that. Nothing is fun about a fun-size Snickers. And when I was growing up, children, people younger than me, buckle your seatbelts. When I was growing up, there were families that gave out pennies at Halloween. You know, like trick or treat, and you'd get a penny in your basket. Come on! What is that? Give me a fun-size Snickers. I'd rather have that than the penny. This house, they gave out the full-size Snickers bars. The full-size Snickers bars. We were there at least two or three times every Halloween. It was awesome. Because you learn to work the system. You know where the good gifts come from. And let me tell you, on Halloween, that's where the good gifts came from. God is the giver of spiritual gifts. And because it's God, because it's his bank account, we aren't talking fun-size Snickers. We aren't talking full-size Snickers. Folks, we're talking king-size Snickers here, okay? These are good gifts. Somebody's getting saved right now, aren't they? Right? It's like, oh, we're churching about Snickers today. God is the giver of the gifts to the church, and God is a giver of good, extravagant gifts. So we acknowledge that this is God that we're talking about, but I think it will be helpful to be a little bit more specific than that. And in 1 Corinthians, this letter that Paul writes in chapter 12, where he talks quite a bit about spiritual gifts, he helps us do that. Another verse we've already read in the last couple of weeks, but let's take a second look at it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And what's going on here, we could zoom out and take a closer look. You can do that on your own time. For today, suffice to say, the same Spirit is a clear reference to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Paul is saying it's the Holy Spirit that distributes the gifts. And we can say this, the gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. So in a general sense, we begin by saying, well, God is the one that gives us the gifts. And Paul's going to help us be a little bit more specific by saying the gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. And actually, as I've said about almost everything I've taught you over the past several weeks, The Bible says this in different ways in different places. We could find a variety of different verses that will teach us this fact, that the Holy Spirit specifically has the assignment of distributing the spiritual gifts. We need to just quickly talk about what that means. We understand that God exists in three persons. It's what we call the Trinity. And this is a foundational belief of Christianity, that God exists eternally as three in one. And those three are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we need to understand here is that, yes, they are three, but they are also one. They are one. So anything that we say about one, the same could be said of all of them. These are not three different gods. This is one God who exists, who is understood, who is known in three persons. It's a difficult concept, kind of an unknowable, unsearchable concept, but nevertheless foundational to what it is to be a Christian and what we believe about God. So it's not redundant and it's not contradictory to say God gives us the gifts and in the same breath say the Spirit distributes them. There's no contradiction there. We aren't talking about two different beings. We're just kind of being a little bit more specific in our understanding. And incidentally, if you're not already confused, there's passages of scripture in the book of Ephesians. Paul actually attributes the gifts to the work of Christ, the Son. The point is this, we don't need to worry too much about how this works because we are talking about a triune God, a God who is three with the emphasis in one, three in one. But yes, the Spirit distributes the gifts. And I suppose this is why we've come to call them spiritual gifts. But anyhow, if we understand that the Spirit is the one who distributes the gifts, there's an implication about that as well. I want you to think about the things that we've said about the Spirit in the time that we've worshiped together. One of the things that I think is very important for us to remember about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we, the church, we, the gathered, called out people of God, have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So in a very real, very theologically important way, this us that has gathered here today, we are the house in which the Holy Spirit lives. So the implication here is that the guy who's distributing the gifts is giving them to a people that he knows intimately, because we are his dwelling place. The implication is that the Holy Spirit, more than any other being, knows what the church needs. This is his house. How many of you know your house? And whether it's a house, an apartment, a condo, you know every nook and cranny of your dwelling place better than anyone else because it's yours. You're the owner. You know which floorboards in the kitchen squeak when you walk on them. You know where the drip is off the gutter. You know which patch of grass doesn't grow particularly well. You know everything there is to know because it's yours, because that is your dwelling place. Nobody else knows it as well as you do. And that's how the Holy Spirit sees his church. So this is not arbitrary gift giving. This is not someone giving gifts out and saying, here, why don't you have a little leadership? And over here, yeah, I got to get, who wants mercy? Does anybody want mercy? I got to give mercy to someone. Okay, how about you? This is not arbitrary gift giving. The gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit, who calls us his home, who makes us his dwelling place. He says, this is my spot. No one knows it like I do. I know exactly what is needed here. No one here has the wrong gift. No one here is missing the gift that they should have. And we can be confident about that within the body of Christ because it is the Spirit who distributes the gifts. When I was a kid, again, at Christmas growing up, I had an aunt and an uncle who lived out of state, and both of them worked for pharmaceutical companies. And they would always mail out to our place before Christmas a grab bag of Christmas presents, not pharmaceuticals. Who's got the Xanax this year? You know?
that kind of thing.
No, but they, you know, their companies also produced like breath mints and different kinds of candies and, you know, the things that you find right at the register in the aisle, those kinds of just random things. And some of them were silly as well, but they'd always get a grab bag of stuff from their company and they would send it out and put it in the mail. And so on Christmas, when the family got together, there was always this grab bag from the aunt and the uncle of, you know, who's going to get what. But none of it had any tags on it. It was just a matter of who tore into what first and however we decided to distribute it. And I remember one year, my little cousin, who couldn't have been more than about 7 or 8 at the time, he grabbed the biggest gift out of this stuff because, you know, size is what counts in Christmas gifts, right? And he wanted that, and I argued with him over it, but, you know, my mom wouldn't let me take it from him, even though I probably could have. I was bigger than him. There was a big argument over that, and in the end, Randy got it, and he unwrapped it. It was denture cream. Sometimes I think in the church we have this sense that that's how the spiritual gifts work, and some of us feel like, Lord, how come I got the denture cream? Like, this is not at all appropriate. Like the spiritual gifts are some sort of grab bag that the Holy Spirit just kind of said, I suppose I'm supposed to give this stuff to you guys. You figure it out. That's not how spiritual gifts work. The Bible says that the Spirit is the one who distributes them. The book of Hebrews tells us, and he does it according to his will. It's his choice. In church, if we understand the nature of God, if we specifically understand the role of the Holy Spirit, that ought to give us a great deal of confidence in our giftedness, in our abilities, in who we are. Because this is the Spirit's house. We are the Spirit's people. He knows us better than we know us. What he has given to us is perfect, without fault, without exception. There's one more thing we need to recognize about the gift giver. And that's the role that you and I play in the distribution of the gifts. I want to say this, and then I'm going to show you what I mean from Scripture. I want to say that the Spirit gives as we gather. The Spirit gives as we gather. In the last couple of weeks, as we've talked about spiritual gifts, we've referenced several times how spiritual gifts were meant to function in the gathering. We talked about how the nature of several of the gifts themselves are, these are gifts that help us gather. They help us with relationship. We talked last week about who are the gifts for. We said, well, yeah, they're for individuals. They have individual name tags on them in many cases, but really they are gifts for the community, for the church. They are gifts meant to be a blessing to the gathered people of God. And here we are once again at essentially the same point. How does the Spirit distribute these gifts? Well, very often he gives as we gather. We see a great example of that in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. Paul was a mentor of Timothy's. And Paul, very, very late in his life, knowing that his life is soon to draw to a close, writes this letter to Timothy. It's the second one that we have in our Bibles that Paul wrote to Timothy, thus 2 Timothy. He writes this letter, and he's kind of imparting his parting words of wisdom to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, very near the beginning of this letter, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, this man, Paul, writes to his apprentice, Timothy. He says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he goes on to say something, you may have heard this before, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I want to highlight what's going on here. I want to be clear on what's happening. Paul is saying, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We'd have to go back and do an exhaustive study of the life of Paul and Timothy. I want to tell you what the fruit of that study would be. The fruit of that study would be that we know that Timothy was already a follower of Jesus Christ. He was already a believer when he and Paul met. Paul is not talking about how I led you to the Lord, Timothy, because that already happened. When Timothy met Paul, Timothy was already a believer. But Paul's referencing a point in Timothy's life when Paul and others came around Timothy and they prayed over him and they physically laid their hands on him. as they prayed for him. And when that happened, Timothy began to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a brand new, refreshing way. And that is the gift that Paul's referring to. When he says fan into flame the gift of God, I don't think Paul specifically means spiritual gifts, although we'll get there. When Paul refers to the gift of God, wherever he writes in Scripture, he's almost always referring to the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I want you to fan into flame the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And do you remember, Timothy, that your experience with that began on that day when the other elders and I came and we prayed over your life? We recognized that God was doing something new in your life. We laid our hands upon you and God imparted his greatest gift into your life. Paul's saying, Timothy, you got to fan that into flame, brother. You got to fan that into flame. Don't forget about what God has said about you. And then thirdly, that part of that experience in Timothy's life, what that means is that the Spirit began at that point to pour new gifts into Timothy. And that's where we do get to spiritual gifts here. It was the Spirit that gave the gifts. It wasn't Paul. Paul didn't give Timothy gifts, but Paul was present at the gathering when the Spirit began to give new gifts to Timothy. That's what's going on there. And the point is this. There is a very strong connection between Paul and Timothy's partnership and the Holy Spirit's decision to pour giftedness into Timothy's life. There's a connection between those two things. The Spirit gives as we gather. Do we see that? There's a connection between the partnership between Paul and Timothy and the Spirit's decision to begin to pour giftedness into Timothy's life. And Paul's saying to Timothy, to this young man who will come behind Paul, he's saying, you got to remember that and begin to allow that to flourish in your life. Now, the gifts were meant for the church. We've said that several times. So think about the logic of that. The Spirit would naturally give them out at church. I don't mean this building, and I don't mean between the hours of 10:15 and 11:30 or 11:40 if the pastor happens to go a little long. That's not what I'm talking about. But the church, the community, the gathering of God's people. When is the Spirit going to distribute his gifts? He's going to give as we gather. And let me be quick to say this. Paul is not taking credit for Timothy's gifts. He's not saying, Timothy, remember, you would be a loser if I hadn't prayed for you. He's not trying to take credit for that. Rather, he's giving credit to the Holy Spirit. Timothy, remember that when we prayed together, do you remember what God did in that moment? Do you remember what God did? Let's give him the glory. Let's give him the honor. I was thinking about our missionaries today, Todd and Chandra, who were here as they were sharing. Todd's a gifted guy. I mean, if you had the chance to follow his ministry and kind of watch what he does, Todd is a gifted guy. He's a talented guy, but he's also a guy in whom there's a lot of evidence of spiritual gifts. And Todd, I think you'd say yes, one of your gifts is for evangelism. And you have a God-given ability to evangelize, to speak to the nuns, to speak to the people who are far from the Lord and introduce them to Jesus. That's a powerful, powerful gift. Those things were poured into Todd. If you ask him for his testimony, I know he'll share it with you. Those gifts were poured into his life as he took his rightful place in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. As Todd became who God created Todd to be, the Spirit began to pour giftedness into Todd. That's how it works for us. God gets the glory, not Todd. And folks, this isn't false humility, or humidity, as the case may be. This isn't false humility. This isn't aw shucks Christianity. Oh, come on. Ugh. This is not what we're talking about. This is Paul telling us how this works. We were together when it happened, so to God be the glory. We were together when it happened, so God gets the honor. It was as we took our rightful places in the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit of God began to do a new and a powerful thing in our lives and in our midst. So to him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's just understanding how the gifts work. And that's just understanding who the giver is. I want us to move to close. And as we talk about spiritual gifts through the next several weeks, we're going to be here another 4 or 5 weeks or so. We need to remember these things because this is going to help us understand the rest of what we learn. We need to remember that God gives us the gifts and therefore they are of immeasurable quality. Immeasurable quality. We need to remember that the Spirit distributes the gifts. So we know that they are perfect for us. He doesn't make mistakes, and it's not a grab bag. He had you in mind as he distributed the gifts according to his will. And finally, we need to know that the gifts are given as we gather. It happens in context of this community. So we know that God desires us to come together in order to be the people that he created us to be. In the coming weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about searching out giftedness in your own life and what that looks like. And some of the questions that might naturally come up about, well, who am I in all of this? Like, what does God have for me? What does my life look like in context of God's will and giftedness and what God wants? And as you think about those things, as you wrestle with those things, as you try and discern what exactly the Spirit is saying to you and giving to you in those moments, I want you to bear these things in mind, that God's will is perfect, that God's desire for you is a desire that's built of his intimate knowledge of you, and that his desires for you are in context of who you are within the body of Christ. Can we pray together? Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit, which distributes gifts to us according to his will. We thank you, Lord, that this is not an arbitrary thing, but that as we go through the body of Christ, as we look each one in the eye and see the faces of our brothers and sisters in Christ in this room today, we can acknowledge, Lord, that you have given to us out of extravagance and out of abundance, but Lord, also out of a deep, intimate knowledge of who we are. This is your home, Holy Spirit. This is your place. This is your dwelling. And so who better to decide what is needed? And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to gather. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be the people that you created us to be so that as individuals we might more perfectly become the individuals that you created us to be. I pray, Lord, that as we come together in relationship, in unity, as we come together one to another, that we would begin to see the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, even as Paul referenced into the life of Timothy. That, Lord, though we might already say, yes, I know Jesus is my Savior, we would recognize that there is more that you have for us, that there is a further filling, that there is another step, that there is another stage, and always more of you, more of you. We thank you for these things today. We ask, Lord, that you would be blessed and honored. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Church.